tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans. Producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows. Interviewing celebrities and showrunners. And bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Welcome back, Agent Carter fans, to AfterBuzz TV's Agent Carter After Show. I'm your host, Zach Wilson. It's time to talk to Agent Carter. Finale, guys. Well, guys, thank you so much for joining us. Like I said, hold on. We'll start in a second. This has been such a blast of a season. Yeah. I'm so excited to talk with you guys about it tonight. We're talking about Hollywood ending. Make sure, if you're tuning in for the first time, hopefully not last time, the last time this season, subscribe at AfterBuzz TV on iTunes, on SoundCloud, so many different places. Hit that thumbs up, 5-star reviews, all that stuff. It's time to talk. Agent Carter, tweet me throughout the week, throughout the show, at that Zach Wilson. Now let me introduce my fantastic panel tonight, Megan Salinas.
Hey guys, you can tweet at me at the Menguin. That's T-H-E-M-E-N-G-U-I-N.
Emma Fife.
Yes, you did introduce me. I was like, is that going to introduce me or am I going to introduce myself? I'm Emma Fife. You can follow me all over the internet at Emma Fife.
And Jesse Klein, life model decoy, Steve Kaufman is joining us
you
today.
You can find me on Twitter at Steve Kaufman, K-A-U-F-M-A-N-N. And if you can't spell all that out, you just look for the past 3 weeks worth of tweets for this show.
That's so true.
I'm right there.
Jesse Klein, he's in the chat room with
us.
Hi, Jesse!
Yeah, wave at your computer, guys.
Hi, Jesse!
He's in Portland, so he couldn't join us tonight, but I know he loved the season, and he's sorry he couldn't be in the studio with us tonight. Wow. All right, I just want to get overall thoughts from you guys. What did you think of tonight's finale?
I mean, the ending was very...
frustrating?
It was not satisfying unless there's gonna be more.
Yes.
Because it's very clearly an ending of, we have so much more story to tell.
Which is the opposite, because the ending of season one
was wrapped up pretty well.
It was wrapped up pretty well.
In a nice little bow. And even the teaser at the end was more about MCU stuff.
Correct. It's like, look how that tied into what happened in Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
It's almost like it flopped.
Well, because... season one, there was never supposed to be season two.
No, it was
a true limited series.
And then it was a mini series.
We're gonna do one, because it's fun.
Straight down
a movie
the
character.
Person.
We're gonna expand it out. It'll be a blast.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, oh my god, people really liked this thing.
I know.
We should do it again.
Well, I mean, because again, and I know I've brought this up on the show before, but like ultimately, it's like, okay, yes, this is a show that is inspired by this comic book universe. We definitely see lots of influence there with little hints to future Hydra, S.H.I.E.L.D. kind of scenarios. But ultimately, this is a spy show. It is a show about a girl spy. Mm-hmm. And it's so much fun.
An old-timey spy show. Which is so great.
Old-timey spy show. Like, it's the... because even for as complicated as this whole season got, at the end of every episode, it's still like, nope, there's a big bad, there's a big boom.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even if you don't catch every detail, they'll still wrap it up for you pretty nicely.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. For me, this finale, it was a combination of things. I will say that the confrontation with Whitney Frost was sadly, in my mind, anticlimactic. That being said, the kind of climax that we got with all of them having to band together was supremely entertaining.
Yes.
It wasn't like I'm gripping the edge of my seat, wondering who's going to make it out. I wasn't doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I was sitting there smiling and having fun.
Yeah.
See, and that's the thing that threw me for a loop, because I feel like what we got with the confrontation with Whitney Frost is much more on tone with what we usually get from Agent Carter. I mean, that's one of the things that we talked about coming into this show, coming out of having talked about Jessica Jones, that is very much the opposite. It's very serious. It's all very, very high stakes. This is high stakes in a different way, in a heightened kind of oldie-timey way, as we say. And that kind of, you know, hijinks is more what we're used to seeing. Yeah. So then this very serious ending was like, whoa.
And it was...
Because we basically had a cartoon leading up to that.
Yeah.
Like a fun romp, and then all of a sudden, like, that, it was like shattered with the sound of that gun going off. It was just awful.
It felt like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. for a little bit. Like, at that end, that I'm saving a prediction for how I think we can, if there's a prediction segment, that's where I'll save
there,
it for.
There will be.
Will there be a prediction segment?
I'll see.
Don't you know half of this panel is a prediction?
I know. It really is. Again, it's like, and especially too, like, just kind of hearkening back to the sort of stylized, silly fight scenes that we saw. I mean, there was that really funny interrogation scene in this episode too with Joseph Manfredi and the one, like, goon of his, where he's like, all right, I'm gonna make this worth your while. Just trust me on this. And it's like, this guy.
Oh, why'd you tell me that? Now I have to kill you.
I know. So good.
That may have been my favorite. There were a lot of really good one-liners in this one tonight.
Yeah. Oh, I wrote down so many one-liners.
Yeah, no, there were so many fantastic ones, particularly Wilkes, Stark, and Samberly all working off of each other. Mm-hmm. It was just supremely entertaining to watch these three geniuses. Mm-hmm. Essentially fight like children over, like, what to name their invention.
Right. It's so the comedy bits in this episode were spot on.
Yeah. And I always love when Howard comes back too. Like, I feel like they use his character just enough to keep him super fun and interesting, and he did not disappoint in this episode. And we came back, and there's the scene where he's, like, hitting on Rose while she's working on something. He's like, oh, Mr. Stark's my old man. You can call me Howard. And then Samberly's like, I can call you Howard too, right? No?
Okay. No. No.
No.
I love that we got Howard back. Anytime Dominic Cooper's on screen, it's a good time. Yeah. He's so
fantastic.
Love Dominic.
He's wonderful.
Because when they announced this series, there was a lot of talk of whether we'd get any of him.
Yeah.
Because
Dominic
Cooper's a busy guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and, like, so we only got him in a few episodes, but he was well used for the time we got.
How about that entrance?
He rolls up with Jarvis, and both heads just pop out of the side window.
It was so good.
Like, because, like, again, what this season, what this did, like, anytime that the two of them were on screen that we didn't see season one, is the reminder, like, Jarvis is really Howard's best friend.
Yeah.
Like, it's his butler and best
friend.
Absolutely. As much as Jarvis and Peggy are, like, great buddies, Jarvis and Howard are, like, brothers. Like, to the end, brothers.
Peggy and Jarvis are bros. Howard and Jarvis are brothers.
That is correct.
That's such an apt comparison. I love it. You might just say it's a Jarvulus.
Jarvulus? Jarvulus or Jarvulus?
Jarvulus. Jarvulus, yeah.
Hashtag Jarvulus. It's hard to pronounce. When,
I like it. Jarvulus.
By the way, we didn't see Bernard this episode.
No Bernard.
That was the one thing that was missing.
Where is
from
Bernard?
The finale.
Couldn't catch him.
I know.
He lives to, I guess, elude them another day. It's basically all he did this season.
To thwart all of Jarvis's hopes and dreams for another
plot twist. He was the assassin at the end.
I mean, to be fair, we didn't see his face, and he seemed rather tall and slim.
Right.
So
let's go back and talk about the episode.
Sure.
Because we opened back on, like, Whitney Frost. Like, Whitney in this episode, she went nuts. Like,
yeah.
Because she got a hold of the Zero Matter, which this week I am saying correctly.
Yes, the Zero Matter.
Zero Matter or Dark Force,
yes.
But not,
not
Dark
Matter.
It's the Zero Matter. She got a hold of it, and it, like, got all of it. And, like, yeah, she's dangerous. Mm. What did you guys think of how they used her in this episode and what, like, once she got a hold of this extreme power?
I mean, something that Steve brought up when we were watching earlier was that I think the actress who plays Whitney Frost was so good at just going on this gradual route to crazy. Mm-hmm. And it was this very, like, understated kind of obsessive genius crazy where she's just like writing equations on the wall. And like, I loved that because to me, like, that is a real actual crazy person. Yes. Like, it's like Peggy was saying when they're like looking at when they're photographing all of her like calculations, she's like, nope, sorry, I don't speak megalomaniac. But like, that's what we saw. And that's a much more interesting choice than somebody who's just like off the wall bonkers.
Yeah. And not for this show either.
Yeah.
Because I do the after show for Gotham. Mm.
I'm sorry.
It's got great.
Okay.
But that's the place for somebody to do an over the top performance. Yeah. Of a crazy, like a crazy DC villain.
Sure.
Fairly
a Joker laugh. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Literally, whereas, and I think when I said this was when they opened the portal.
Mm-hmm.
And Whitney Frost, just in one glance with a weird smile, is drawn to the portal. And I remember thinking of two panels I do here is Gotham and Heroes.
Mm-hmm.
And thinking how they would have handled the same exact shot and reaction and went, oh, that's a very subtle...
Yeah.
That's a very subtle facial compared to what those other two shows would have done.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, extremely effective.
Yeah.
I think what you said specifically was it's better that she's to underplay it.
Yes.
That by her less is more approach, it really is more effective than if she was, you know, that mustache twirly.
Yeah.
The portal is open. This, for me, this is what I kind of mean by anticlimactic. Because mm-hmm. when we saw the preview and we saw her walking out of the factory, I was just expecting her to, like, completely level, like, the area around her with the sheer power that she had.
And even if she'd gone through the same beats, like, I was sort of expecting. But on the other hand, I actually really like that she never needed to go crazy like that. That was the thing. It's also just not that character as they've built her. Like,
right.
I just got a tweet from Ernie K. Okatz.
Mm-hmm.
Ernie Kokatz. Sorry. Ernie, I apologize. Who asks, like, can Frost still be Madame Mask? And the truth is, like, she is Madame Mask. Because that's the thing. Whitney Frost, like, okay, she's not Madame Mask in that, like, she got a gold, like, ornate mask on her face. And she's, like, hiding her identity and, like, switching identities and all that. But that character is a scientist who is crazy and hell-bent on being the best and, like, controlling things. Mm. And this character just went, like, mm-hmm. is not about, like, I'm gonna kill the people. It's I want more power.
Yeah.
And that's, like, a desire that's very real.
Very real. And I will say there wasn't ever a moment of her being like, I want all this power so I can destroy everything. It was like, no, I want all this power so I can control it and understand it and then reshape the world in my image, basically.
So, and so much so that her psyche is broken when it's ripped away from her. So much so that she can't even reconcile the horrible things she did while she had it in her possession, to the point where she's having delusions of her late husband and how much she supposedly really loved him, which may or may not have been true. I don't know.
It probably was true at some point.
True in her mind.
Yeah. Definitely in her mind at the moment.
Well, and you feel like what you're experiencing is sort of this regression to her at the beginning of sort of this journey, which probably did begin when she got married to Calvin Chadwick, which was very much a smart power move for her because he was in this, you know, potentially political position and was also doing stuff with an organization. So I think that it is. It's like she's sort of like mentally regressed to like, okay, I'm back at the beginning of my journey. So like in her mind, he's there and he's her partner in crime. And I think she probably went into that relationship being like, yes, this is going to be great. But then he started sleeping with other scientists and she started realizing that he wasn't like as willing to go to any means. He wasn't willing to utilize the same sort of means to an end that she was. Because I think he was definitely corrupt and would make some questionable choices.
He wasn't Hydra evil.
Yeah.
He wasn't...
But yeah, exactly. He was a
member
evil.
Of the council, but he wasn't Hydra evil. he wasn't cut out for Hydra.
He was, like, on an outlie of that
path. He just wanted to be a senator. I mean, and really, what I really love about what the writers did with Whitney Frost's character season is, like, they didn't stray from this idea that she wanted power. Mm-hmm. And the reason is because... And then when we got our flashback, we saw... that it was deep-rooted, like, need to not rely on a man, because she saw what that did to her mother.
Yeah.
And the fact that it lost them their house when, as soon as her mother, like, tried to have any power for herself.
Yep.
And we saw bits and pieces of that in this episode, and even Manfredi, when he needed to manipulate her to, like, get her out of the room, he knew exactly what button to push, and that was acknowledging her power. Because when he says to her...
It's so true.
Or when she asks, like, you need me to be your muscle.
Yeah.
There's nothing more, like, literally empowering, but, like, also just, like...
No.
There's nothing more just, like, special to her than the idea of, like, somebody respecting
her
enough to need her help. A man asking for her help.
Yeah, and that's the thing that makes Joseph Manfredi such a compelling character, is because he respects the shit out of her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He really legitimately does. Like, he loves her so much, but above that, he respects her. And... But meanwhile, like, he's still totally
a product of his time, psycho,
and a product of his time. But yeah, because that is the thing, is, like, I have such complicated feelings towards that, because the reason that he goes to Howard for help is because he's legitimately concerned about her. And I mean, it totally backfires on him because being separated from the dark matter, she goes totally crazy. But, like, he wanted to help her. I loved the conversation he had with his grandmother, too, where he was like, I don't know what to do. And she's like, do you really love this girl? And he's like, yeah. She's like, well, you got to make a deal with the devil. I was like, okay.
I'll call Howard. I'll call Howard Stark.
That makes complete sense for this universe and any universe.
And that's where we kick off the Science Bros.
Oh, man, the Science Bros.
Yeah, because you've got, oh, my God, it's so fun.
It was really funny.
Yeah, Wilkes and Howard and, like, all the pot shots at each other.
Yeah.
And just, like, I love the fake out. Like, at first I wasn't sure how to feel about the fact that Manfredi was totally...
Oh, my God,
like,
it was so good.
It was a great reveal.
It was, like, buddies with him. I was like, that's weird. But, like, then what they did with it was so perfect.
Of course Howard would have friends like that.
It felt like a cop-out until I saw the chemistry and fun they were having with each other. At first I was like, man, I kind of want them to deal with like a hostage situation and like, but then for him to just ask for help and then to realize they've been friends the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and it was, and you know, good on Jarvis for playing along too, and definitely playing, because I don't know how much he knows about whether or not they had a prior relationship. Yeah. So it's hard to tell. It's like, is Jarvis acting for the sake of acting?
I thought Jarvis was not in
Yeah, I legitimately thought he was definitely like,
believed he was being held hostage.
Danger.
Oh, the way he had his hands up,
so good. Yeah, I love the line that Howard said to Joseph when he shows up. He goes, "You can't just walk into a man's home and take his butler hostage."
It's
very funny. As funny as it was to see the two of them play off of one another, it actually is very much reflective of Tony Stark's ideals later on we see in the Avengers 2. You know, what was it? Keep your friends rich and your enemies rich, and you'll find out which is which.
Yep.
And so it's like, oh, that makes total sense.
His
father would be friends with mobsters.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's so much fun there, and that's what, so with his help, they're able to get all of the designs.
Yeah.
With that great little undercover sequence.
Yes.
With Peggy and Sousa and, like, just like what, taking Polaroids or?
Yeah, yeah, that
very poorly lit Polaroids.
Spy camera.
Spy tech. You don't need a flash.
That's true. Yeah.
I feel like in the MCU, if you really wanted to, you could just throw up hashtag Stark Tech. Like, I think I was on an episode of
Stark Tech.
I was filling in on an episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. where like people were running in loafers, and I was like, you know what? Stark Tech.
Totally checks out.
I think Howard Stark would have developed loafers you could run in.
Yep.
Hashtag Marvel Science, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever you need Marvel Science to be.
Marvel will make that. That is what science is.
I'm pretty sure that's a History
and
Channel
special. And chances are radiation or gamma rays had something
God,
to do with it.
Oh my God, that would be amazing. History Channel special. I'm like 60%, Marvel Science.
I'm like 60% sure that already exists. And it's on Netflix.
I was like, I'm going to go home and Netflix that immediately.
But what did you guys think of the whole sequence around building the device? It, like, we talked about the facial building, but then activating it. They get the dark force zero matter hole that they're just, like, on set.
Yeah, in front of the backdrop in London Square on the Universal lot. They activate.
Now they went out to his, like,
yes, I'm sorry, to Stark's. No, they were supposed to be at his movie studio, which was
Malibu's
like,
later.
Malibu's where the secret science lab is going to go. They're supposed to be on the like Stark Pictures lot, 180 acres of open space,
which
yeah.
geographically would have been like a Chaplin-esque place. I think.
People would live the ranch there. That's out. Past Calabasas.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. In the Agora Hills area.
I shot Hell Caesar there. I forget what it's called now. I was one of 1,000 Romans in Hail Caesar at that ranch. You're right. I did not personally shoot Hail Caesar.
Hail Caesar directed by Steve Kaufman.
Rancho
Cucamonga. That's like out in like past like Riverside kind of.
That's the other way. Rancho Cucamonga is right.
Agora Hills.
Yeah.
There.
Yes. Sure.
Somewhere there.
Moving.
Sure. On. They're on the lot and yes, and they activate this disruptor and it just kind of makes like it does the same thing that we've seen the zero matter, I almost said dark matter, do before, where it like starts sucking everything in.
So you gotta do what I did, which is start saying dark matter and then say dark force or zero matter.
So you get all the words in there.
It's a cool design that we could see it lingering. All the effects in this were cool. Mm-hmm. Her stuff getting sucked up, I feel like they were just like started throwing their we've got like no budget.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're like, we just gotta animate the sequence real fast. Because it's true, because there were a lot of special effects in this episode, because we did see like the T-1000 effect, but with the dark
that
force.
Awesome. Yeah, and it was able, because I think mainly because they could keep it low light. That
I know.
That helped your eyes not what? Necessarily see
No,
stuff.
I'm gonna save that for predictions.
I will say, I was surprised when it was doing the T-1000 thing. I was surprised that she was alive elsewhere. I thought that the dark force was going to like come back together and it would be like a very T-1000 moment. But still, it was still a really cool scene.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, like literally like it
like literally like and then
and then she would be her. Yeah.
Yeah. Or Robert like Patrick, that. One of the two.
Sure,
I don't know.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, that would have been expensive.
And again, in this sequence with the thing, we got a lot of great comedy moments. Mm-hmm. The golf balls.
Oh, yes.
And I think it was just like the gravity was messing with Howard's shot.
Yeah,
but you totally. You should have been using the 7-iron.
Yeah.
You always use the 7-iron.
I don't know. He's been hooking them pretty.
That's like why he hooks them.
He wasn't
an
accounting
iron.
For the wind factor, guys. Yeah.
And he probably doesn't. Like, because Tony Stark doesn't. We've never seen Tony Stark
play golf
at all. Like, I don't think that's a Stark thing.
Like but that's what I'm saying.
It's a rich
people. The 7-iron is always the club.
The sun was in the wrong place.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There are many factors.
Many variables.
As there is every time anyone plays golf, contributing to why they are not so great that day. No, but I think, Megan, this is where it comes into what you were saying you found to be a little bit anticlimactic. Which
she basically walks up, you know, seeing seeing the portal, and is completely open to attack. Yeah. Makes absolutely no attempt to take out even Samberly. And I guess the idea is that she's so far gone. Or, like, right. it has
she's
such a strong
possessed.
Pull on
yeah.
it.
I mean,
like,
went,
her that she, that she doesn't even yeah. notice or care.
She went a beautiful mind on us.
Yeah.
She did.
That
room with the equation.
And then you carry the one. And then,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, like, she has so much power in her at this moment.
Yeah.
She could have, if she wanted to, killed Samberly on her way there. She could have, like, destroyed their car. She could have done so many things.
Right.
And she's not an idiot. And this is where I'm frustrated by it, because it's like, we very much established she's a genius.
Yeah. Mm.
Even when she's caught up in her rush for power or her vibe for power or whatever, it doesn't make sense to me that she would just walk right into the path of the Gamma Cannon when she knows what it does.
Yeah.
So she has to be really far gone to just be like completely unaware of what is around her.
I buy that science. I can buy that because the guy who also suffered from it knew that that would happen.
I don't know.
And that's the only part that helps me buy this science.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't buy it. I don't buy it. That being said, seeing all of them attempt to try to close it in, like, a very Three Stooges slapsticky kind of way, that, like I said, was really fun and entertaining.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh, I guess that's it for Whitney Frost. That, you know, that person that had all this power could have done anything.
Yeah, I will agree with you. I think that I have to go with Steve on the, like, you just have to buy that science on some level. And it is absolutely justified to me that she didn't kill Samberly, because she wasn't really, like, she had no reason to kill Samberly.
Samberly wasn't standing in her way.
No.
Of the only objective running through her head.
I don't think he was standing in the way because he saw her.
And he probably ran.
So it's like,
he may have fainted under the car and she never saw him.
Yeah.
He didn't, like he said, like, I don't think she even attacked him. He literally saw
her.
Yeah,
he just fainted.
And
collapsed.
Yeah, so I mean, for me, it's like, I feel like, but I agree with you, Megan, that I was a little disappointed that we didn't get to see a little more, like, fight from Whitney.
Yeah, again, she literally just walked into, like, right into the line of fire.
Yeah, again.
Without even looking.
Justified from the point of view that she never really was setting out specifically to destroy anybody, but it's like, if there'd been a little more time, it would have been fun if, like, I don't know, the Gamma Cannon missed. And then
she
was aware.
And then she turned around and was
then,
like, oh, there were people
right, and
here.
Then there was a fight while they tried to recharge it. And, you know, like, I would have liked to see a battle
that's
with
fair.
Whitney.
Yeah, that's a good point. It would have heightened the drama of that situation.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, then got heightened when they're like, we got to shut it down. Of course, the only way is, like, a dead man switch where you're going to fall in.
This is some Marvel science I couldn't get behind. you can't be within 20 feet of the thing while you're cranking the crank.
Yep.
Why do you make the crank only accessible from the base of the machine?
There are several things that I thought about when it's like, they're like, okay, it's a 20 foot radius, and they're standing like 21 feet.
I know. Like, I think y'all
can
be 40 feet.
Unknown thing that you've never used before.
Never tested. It could take out the entire movie lot for all you know.
Yeah, it's true.
Take five more steps back just in case you were like a little off.
Yeah,
but also, if
forgot to carry the one.
If you take the time to design a crank that you'd need to be there, you should also design a giant pole that's 50 feet long that you can be able to use the crank.
Which is funny because they're on a movie set. They could have gotten like
a boom mic.
Or one of those like stage handy hooks that you drag people up
or
stage
an intern.
With. Or you call an intern.
Yeah, throw
seriously.
The SHIELD intern at it. It's fine.
You know what? SSR doesn't have interns yet.
That's true.
That's
they,
it.
They
yeah, SHIELD has interns, not the SSR.
Yeah, they haven't, and they haven't formed it yet.
I know.
Which means this show can't end.
I know.
Because
it has to end at that point.
Yeah.
Because we saw all these people in Ant-Man. Like, we know what's going on with where they eventually got to, but we got to see them get to that.
And we also need to know if it's Sousa or not.
Yeah.
We also need to know if Sousa is Agent 31's father.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well,
I know.
We're getting ahead of ourselves.
But There's a checklist.
There's several reasons why that's not the question.
Okay. We'll get into that later. All right.
What we get is this, like, almost like Three Stooges.
Yeah, no, it was very, like, Abbott Costello.
Yeah, they're Peggy's holding on to Sousa, like, as he's being pulled up, and they just, like, get in a line.
It's like
they don't grab the rope.
It's tug of war, by the way. So, like, Peggy is holding this rope, and everybody else just starts to grab Peggy, and then everyone just grabs the waist of the person in front of them. It's like, okay, maybe let's all grab the rope, and then one of us grab onto that lamppost that we tried to tie the rope to in the first place.
Use it as an anchor.
Knock over the lamppost.
Right.
And then use it to grab the thing without getting anyone hurt.
Well, like, just attach the rope to the car
and then drive the car
up.
Back.
I thought they were gonna do that. Like, it pulls up. Oh, great! Yeah. Get the car over here. Yeah. And then, like,
and this is what I mean by I feel like it was a little bit of a cartoon because I feel like I've seen this in cartoons.
I agree. I totally agree.
Where, you know, somebody grabs onto a rope and then everybody just like Mulan! Yes. Mulan, that was it! When, like, they go over the cliff.
And then Howard is like, Peg, I'm not having any dirty thoughts right now.
Oh, wait, there it is.
But Dominic Cooper, just like such good comedic timing really good, and little nuances, like, because his face when he's like, oh, there's one, like, he's got this sly, like,
this immature laugh. Yeah, no, he's incredibly charming.
Yeah.
To be fair, I don't care how much mortal danger we might be in. If I switch places with him, look. The brain does what the brain does.
you're Peggy, Peggy Carter.
You're not. It's not like you're gonna stop or not save her life.
I know.
But the brain does. Like,
we all know you're in love with Haley Atwell.
Anything to do with your crush on
Haley Atwell. Yeah, we all know you're in love with Haley Atwell. It's fine. It's fine. But then, like, water. Jarvis comes to the rescue, basically, with the car, because he goes to get the hover car. Because they have this fight about Wilkes and Howard Stark have this fight about, like, who's the better genius, basically. And Howard Stark's, like, big thing is, well, did you make a hover car? Which, the animation on the hover car looked amazing. So, obviously, like, the bit with Whitney Frost getting the power sucked out of her was the last special effect that they did.
Yeah, they did the first part
of the episode, the hover car, and then, like, we have to do that.
Because the hover car, like, pre-Lola car was just, it looked amazing.
It looked awesome,
As they put the gamma, like, bomb up there.
The core of the cannon.
I mean, it's effectively
cannon.
A bomb.
Yeah,
absolutely. Because, I guess that's how you don't make Hulks.
Yeah.
Banner, you should have, like, checked the notes.
I was, like, really, like, when everything went down with Wilkes getting shot with all the gamma rays, I really thought, like, he was gonna Hulk out, like, at some point. I was like, I feel like that's not outside the realm of possibility. Not really right for this show, but Marvel science.
Look, maybe Marvel that's science, the project in Malibu later
on.
Yeah,
exactly.
Marvel science is, like, if there's radiation, it's gamma.
Well, there's no other type of radiation in the MCU.
This is such a great, great packed episode. What we got to talk about from that is Peggy's relationships.
I know.
She's got two bows that were kept coming up throughout the season, and we saw her choice.
she sure made one.
it's one of those, like, the universe sort of, like, made her choice for her in a little bit of a way, she's talking about, like, dwelling on what might have been is no way to live. Wilkes has this great opportunity with Stark out in Malibu, which, like, I'm assuming is what eventually becomes Tony.
That's what I was thinking.
That got destroyed in Iron Man 3.
Yeah, 100%.
Which would be fun. It's like, what's down in that? So, how do you guys feel about the decision, both on the part of Peggy and of the showrunners, to get, like, where she just attack.
I know.
This was perfect, and I think it was versus another show like Arrow, let's say.
Where it becomes a DC comparison. Steve.
I'm just comparing shows,
I'll
man.
Throw you out
of it. Get out.
Where it becomes a bit of a ship war. This was just very clearly like, no, we want this. We've been building to this for 2 seasons.
Yeah.
This just makes sense.
The only thing in the way of it was that we liked Violet.
I know.
We really liked Violet.
Oh, and I liked Wilkes.
And I'm a little bummed that Violet just kind of became a plot complication. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I kind of wanted a little more from Violet. I wanted her to be a secret bad guy.
Yeah,
or...
it would have been great if she had turned out anything. She had been Hydra.
Yeah.
Instead of just, oh no, she was just a genuinely nice person that Sousa was dishonest to and got very hurt by the fact that he lied to her. And
I disagree with that. I would have felt like it was so just convenient and dull if she had been Hydra.
I will agree with you on that, Zach.
I would have liked to see her more involved in what eventually happened with Sousa in their relationship. I think she could, in theory, be more involved in a season 3 if we were to get one where that... Because like all we saw was the first beginning.
That's true. Her introduction. That's very true. Well, and I think, with Violet, it's basically like she just kind of left a little too conveniently. It was basically just a... You're still in love with Peggy. Bye.
And he didn't chase her. He didn't go after her. He didn't try to convince her that he wasn't.
She wasn't wrong.
Mm. No.
Wilkes is not an idiot. He's a very smart guy.
Yeah.
Told you guys last week. Last time. That
about Wilkes?
About pointing the gun at Peggy.
I still think he would have shot Peggy, which is why he pointed the gun at Peggy, because he knew that Sousa would never let him do it.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
I'm not disagreeing. Because he really didn't want to shoot Peggy, but he would have done it if Sousa didn't stop him.
I disagree.
We can agree to disagree.
A lot of people in the chat roll are asking does this mean that like they're saying like Sousa wasn't saved by Captain America, because we know eventually and like is not necessarily true. We don't know all of Sousa's
what happened to him.
He was injured in the war and survived it at great cost, like physical cost himself, so he very easily could have been
saved by Captain America
and just hasn't brought it up.
He is one of the probable suspects.
It could have been that he was one of the people captive in the compound when Cap went to go rescue Bucky.
For sure.
It could be that he never even saw Captain America face to face, but was rescued by him.
And as mentioned, Cap rescued a lot of people in that montage.
Yeah.
In that montage of the first movie, like, we're left to assume that somebody Cap saved in that montage becomes Peggy Carter's husband.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be Sousa, or it'll be someone we haven't seen
yet.
I don't think it's anyone else.
I agree with you. It's either Sousa or a character we have not met.
Mm-hmm. I will say that I do complain a little, I'm upset about the way they just kind of shuffled Violet away. And I'm also kind of annoyed that, like, that whole thing with Wilkes was just them looking at each other, shrugging, and go, oh, well, I guess it won't work here.
Okay.
But I will say that, like, now that she and Sousa are together, it would be very fascinating to see a season of them actually together.
Being together, functioning
as a couple.
I would really like to see that as well. To the end of the Wilkes story thing, I always felt throughout the series that and she wasn't doing it intentionally. This is just something that people do. And it felt very realistic to me, her sort of affection that she was lavishing upon Wilkes, basically because Sousa was engaged to somebody else and she was trying to not get hurt.
Displaced affection.
Exactly. Yes. It is something that people legitimately do.
Nobody's fault.
And exactly. Nobody's fault. She didn't mean to hurt him. Ultimately, no feelings were hurt. They parted amicably. Probably with a little more sadness on his part, I think, than hers. But I think they did such a nice job of portraying that, and I don't think we see that often in television series in general.
Yeah, usually in television, it's a lot more dramatic.
Yeah, and it wasn't dramatic. It just was Peggy has these two dudes. Both of them are pretty great. Both of them are also equally awful. So they're people.
Yeah.
They're human beings.
Yeah. Why not just attack a man's mouth?
Sure. Listen, and there is that part of us as the viewers too that Steve brought up as well, that they were building up to this relationship for all of season one, and then season two, they're like, well, I don't know, is it going to happen? Here's this other guy. So that, but we as the audience, like, I feel like for me anyway, I couldn't help but want Peggy and Sousa to get together because I wanted Peggy to get what Peggy wanted.
Yeah.
After all of this.
I know.
Well, I mean, get what Peggy wanted in the present.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Peggy wants...
Lots of things.
Rogers. Yeah. She wants Captain America.
Yeah,
her ultimate one.
You really can't go anywhere from there. That doesn't get any better.
Doesn't.
And I think it's time we got to talk about Jack getting shot.
Yeah.
And so here's the thing. I have some breaking news on this because Michelle Fazekas. Mm-hmm. They have an interview with the Hollywood Reporter, and like there's a tweet from her where this is the quote: "Listen to me," in all caps. Mm-hmm. "Listen to me. He's shot. That's all you saw.
That's true.
Don't assume anything."
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I mean, Anna got shot earlier in the season, and she lived.
Yep.
There are consequences
to
that.
Peggy had a rail go through her, and she lived.
And so, she was only hurt for an episode and a quarter.
Yeah. I mean, she's Peggy Carter.
Though. We have nothing to give us any information on who this person is, except in theory, they are someone attached to the arena club.
Listen, so this goes back to the T-1000.
Whoa.
So maybe... This is going to sound crazy, but it's not, you know, Marvel science. What if when Wilkes did whatever he did in that room, because he basically just, like, exploded in dark matter, it just, like, went shooting out of his body and consumed Whitney, but we don't see what happened to Vernon Masters.
Nope, no body.
No body, no death. Mm-hmm. What if, like, Vernon also got dark mattered? And so that, like, T-1000 did back into Vernon.
I kind of hope not.
we did see a shot of that person from the neck down.
But not their face. And remember, the whole big thing about Whitney Frost was that her face was cracked.
Mm-hmm.
So I could totally see it being... Well, I think it's Vernon anyway, regardless of whether or not Dark Matter's involved.
Yeah, I think it's through Vernon, but I don't think...
But how great would that be if what Wilkes did, like, right before they all came charging in and then subsequently charging out, like, really messed him up.
Yeah.
And so, like, he's... got all these scars and stuff now. That'd be really cool.
And I think the neck down we saw was of a younger man.
I agree with you. I agree with you on that, Steve. But
the way Vernon Masters carried himself.
But I still think Vernon Masters has something to do with it.
Interesting.
Yeah, he's not gone.
I think we're looking at a Hydra member. Like,
yeah.
So, because we know just from the image, from like images of Hydra's symbol and the Arena Club symbol, that it is connected.
Yeah, they're
to
definitely
Hydra.
Connected. Yeah.
It is. Even if the people that we saw in the season weren't necessarily Hydra. So, this strikes me as Hydra going back for the key. And now,
the
Peggy has the key because Jack gave it to Peggy.
Yeah, but,
Jack gave the key to Peggy.
When they were in, what
this person now has is the may or may not have been fabricated, may or may not be about her brother and not her, redacted file.
Yes, that was a theory we had through Twitter and everything through the week.
Yes.
Was that M. Carter
could
be Margaret Carter, Peggy. Or it could be Michael Carter, her brother. And when I, boom.
Yep.
That could be awesome. But anyway, so we gotta keep moving forward.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the key because we don't have a ton of time left.
Yeah.
But I want to talk about the key.
Yep.
Because what does it open?
I know.
If I'm thinking just like what we have already pre-established.
Mm-hmm.
My first instinct is like wherever they're keeping. The chunk of portal monolith.
The monoliths, yeah.
Now,
here's a question. Does everybody with a pin, do they get their own key? Like, is it the entrance to a secret Hydra facility? Or is it just Vernon Masters, who was most likely the quote-unquote Hydra person of the arena club? Is that something that would have only been his key and his alone?
No, I feel if everybody has that pin, everyone's going to have a key. And I think that key would unlock some type of button. Would be the most realistic that you
like
need.
It's an entrance to something where to something all like these people gather.
Or maybe there are 12 of these keys and they each unlock a very specific seat at a table with zodiac symbols that might be around them.
Maybe.
Could be.
But that's my take on the key. That each member has a key.
And does Jesse say anything in that?
We certainly know that there are multiple keys. So I think that all of these theories have some merit.
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting stuff in that, like, this could be leading to.
Yeah.
And I wish we had more time to get into it. But I feel like we need to talk about predictions. I think we got to do that.
And now, you're
because, we haven't been predicting all stuff.
I know.
I just wanted to make it official. Because, there aren't, we don't need to do a news and gossip on this, really, because we did it last week.
Yeah.
But, the rumors are not good for Agent Carter. There's a little bit of hope because they haven't said anything official. It's all rumors. We've heard from a lot of different sources on this, but bad news from different sources that we have.
It's just so frustrating because there's nothing more frustrating for me than when a series gets canceled and doesn't know that they're getting canceled.
Yep.
And if that is the case for this show, they clearly did not know they were getting canceled.
Yeah. My name is Earl.
And I think that was partially in an attempt to keep the series going. Whether they have to do that in print or in
on
screen,
they shot this last week after they announced the
one of the I think that they will finish the story because it was such a big cliffhanger. Because Peggy and Jack came to this big point where they're
I know you're a good man. Because I feel like I was with Peggy for the whole series and I was really happy to see that they came to that understanding.
And he came around.
So predictions. We talked about the killer and all that, but what do you think happens for Peggy Carter? We know eventually she found
Strange. Yes, she does.
But between now and then, what do you guys think happens?
With Jack incapacitated, not necessarily dead, but definitely taken out, that allows for a power vacuum for that aspect of the SSR.
Yeah.
And then, you get the wrong person to step in to fill that void.
Absolutely.
And the entire SSR is compromised.
Yeah, absolutely.
And,
I feel like the SSR ends with... the SSR as we knew it in season one ends with Jack. You know what I mean?
It ended with that gunshot, whether Jack lives or
not.
Jack is not going to be in a capacity to run the SSR,
which was the
point of the shot. And
it also just puts you, as you say, there's the power vacuum and also just raises the stakes as well, too, for Peggy, because there is this, there's going to be a little bit of a personal vendetta as we try to figure out
who done it.
Exactly. Yeah. Which just gets us back to the spy thriller and the mystery solving.
I'm trying to figure out the timeline.
The film noir.
Speaking of a spy thriller, I'm trying to figure out the timeline. What year was the very beginning of Ant-Man?
80s?
It was the 80s.
Okay. I believe it was the early 80s.
Do we have a year on when S.H.I.E.L.D. was formed? Within the MCU.
I don't have it in front of me.
But
it's the 50s.
I think it's
50s,
yeah.
The early 50s or are we on the
cusp? We're in 47 right now.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think we're not too far off.
Yeah.
And no matter what happens, however they end up having to finish this story ends with S.H.I.E.L.D., I think.
Yeah, and that's why I think it would be great to get one more season, because that would be the perfect way to cap an Agent Carter story.
Yes.
Whether it's 10 episodes, 8 episodes, or even 3 episodes
to wrap us
or a TV movie.
Yeah.
A
TV movie to close out Peggy Carter's story. Honestly, I would love a full season of 10. I think that's the perfect length of the show, but I would be satisfied with a TV movie that wraps up.
Do you
want to
know what else is completely acceptable within the TV universe? Flashbacks on S.H.I.E.L.D.
It happened already. I would not like for this. I like beginning, middle, end. Mm-hmm. And three seasons fits that perfectly.
I agree.
And I feel like Peggy deserves better, like at least this season. Yeah. Not just Peggy Carter as a character, but the season and the series deserves to be finished properly.
I agree.
And I don't think it should have to intrude on S.H.I.E.L.D. in order to get that story wrapped up. Yep. I feel like S.H.I.E.L.D. doesn't have time for that, and I feel like a lot of I feel like Carter deserves more.
I agree Carter deserves more, but I also feel like the story S.H.I.E.L.D.'s gonna tell next season could just as easily need the counterpoint of what happened starting here.
Well,
what is the Peru Project, and does that
there's,
tie in
there's a
humans?
Difference between a flashback supplementing S.H.I.E.L.D. and S.H.I.E.L.D. having to crux up
I
assume that because S.H.I.E.L.D.'s well written enough that it'll never feel like a crux.
I don't think it would need that. I don't think you need a crossover that heavy. And I don't think that's what their style.
No.
But I do think that they will complete this story and give us like the answers that we need.
They need to do it to send a message, because if any bit that, you know, they've kind of greenlit doesn't go through and they have to cancel it or put the kibosh on it, that is detrimental to the overall MCU brand as a whole. So if they don't finish Agent Carter, what does that say about every other piece of Marvel property that they have?
And we could speculate on this forever. But I want to get your guys' final thoughts on Agent Carter, the finale, the season. How do you, like, before we wrap out, because I think it's about that time, what do you think about this show, this wonderful show
we've
had the privilege to talk about?
So much fun. It had a little bit of everything. It had camp, it had film noir, it had drama, it had romance, it had legitimate feels and substance, it had well-rounded characters. It just so much fun to sit down and watch and talk with you guys every week.
The show is a bit of my everything. Also, on predictions, As I always do with this show, anytime there's a mysterious murderer, I immediately say Winter Soldier. Because why not?
I mean, sure.
You can never
be
wrong.
We don't know how long it took them to brainwash him, maybe.
Yeah, no, I don't think he's activated
yet. Who knows?
I don't either. Who knows? But you can always say Winter Soldier. Also, if there is not a season 3, Haley Atwell, you better be the Doctor.
Oh yeah,
she's on that stupid ABC
pie. My final thoughts are: we also have that big open end of where the heck did Dottie go? Because she's out on the loose somewhere. Yeah. So we need more.
She's living her life.
We need more story. But I really enjoyed this season. I loved that they moved it to LA, and it just everything that they filmed on the lot, like particularly at Universal, just looks so good, and it just really captured that like old Hollywood feel, and it was magical.
This show for me was just, it's been such a treat. I fell in love with this character from the get-go. Just Haley Atwell.
No, but Peggy,
that too.
Shows up in First Avenger, and I was like, okay, now I'm interested.
I mean, like, I love that movie. Like, Captain America has been one of my top comic book characters for a long time. But then, so that first movie just perfectly captured what I wanted from it. And Peggy Carter was a major part of that. And this show has been the perfect companion piece to her character in that movie. And, like, I hope that we get a little bit more of it. I think one more season is the right amount. Like, I don't I don't think it needs more than that.
I agree.
But, like, one more season would perfectly finish out or cap her run, if you will.
Megan hates ABC, it doesn't have to be next year.
Nah.
We're patient people.
Yeah.
I'm not. What are you talking about?
If the option is a season 3 never or a season 3 2 years from now.
Yes.
Definitely option.
I'm a patient man.
I do want to give to do some wrapping out here. Yep. I do want to give a couple quick shout outs to our iTunes reviews. My computer dies. I don't have the reviews, but I have the screen names. Mr. Ron Corleone, Jillybean 729, and VNH 1123. Thank you guys so much for leaving an iTunes review. You guys go ahead and keep doing it, because support for the podcast, support for us on Twitter, for the show on Twitter. All of that is a way that ABC is going to look at seeing how well the show has been received and whether they, or not they should renew it. So go on to iTunes, hit a review. If you're on YouTube, hit that thumbs up button. Tell your friends about the show.
Hashtag
if they
Carter.
Haven't finished, if they're watching it on DVR, they can just watch us as they go. There's so many ways to enjoy it. And if you're doing the iTunes thing, there is a way that you can win a prize at home.
What could they win?
What?
They can win one of these fabulous posters. And we'll get Megan, if you want to help me unfurl this prize, one of the prizes that we're going to give away.
Ooh. That's legit.
That you can win that poster. And the way you're going to do it is you're going to have to follow us to next week. And next week is when Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. we'll be back on TV, and we'll be back with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After Buzz TV After Show. No, I was going to... It was a surprise.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Okay, we're putting them away.
We're doing a bad job. I'm sorry.
We're bad assistants.
I only saw half of that poster, and I called dibs.
Yeah. No.
It's for the fans.
But yeah, so tune in next week, and be sure to tune in next week, and then hit us with a review for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. before then. We'll be telling you, we'll be picking a winner from our iTunes reviews for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. They're left between right now and next week. Mention the AfterBuzz TV Agent Carter show, and that's how you can win.
And be sure to leave your Twitter handle in there. And
it's very important.
You got to follow all of us on Twitter. Did you already mention ABTV? I was trying to.
Okay. Make sure you're following ABTV Marvel on Twitter, which is where you can get all the info on all of the Marvel shows, including, like, this week we did a Daredevil podcast where we broke down all of the Easter eggs and just news and everything about Daredevil that we saw in the two trailers they dropped with Elektra and Punisher in the hand. Jesse Klein, me, Mark Donica, and Emma, not Emma.
Not me.
Jamie Elias joined us.
I'm really sad it's not me.
The Daredevil panel assembled on time. but yeah, it's going to be a blast. Be sure to join us on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Thank you to Raymond, our engineer,
yes,
for staying
a little bit. Thank you,
Raymond. So that we could close out this season of Agent Carter's the fantastic show.
Yes.
And thank you to my panel. Thank you, Megan, for kicking ass season. Thank you, Emma, for kicking ass thing. Yeah. Thank you, Steve, for confusing people.
All the time, Jesse,
wherever you are. My hat is on to you.
We miss you, Jesse.
I think if Jesse was here, the one little tidbit that he would have thrown at us was that there was a, and I didn't get this from Jesse, but I'm like, this is a Jesse thing.
Oh, yeah.
Is that when Wilkes mentioned, like, it spreads like a cancer, brain just went to, are they going to do the cancer verse? Which is a real thing. Marvel Alternate Universe 10011.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, that is a Jesse thing. You're right.
And it's like this alternate reality and universe with like an evil team of Avengers in it. And so I've only read them in like one book. It's real weird. But yeah. So anyway, guys, like I said, thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back next week with the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Steve Kaufman, where can everyone find you?
Everybody can find me on Twitter at Steve Kaufman. That is KAUFMANN. I'm also on Instagram, Steve_Kaufman, but I only Instagram on Thursdays.
I was hoping you were going to say at Jess Klein 1 just to confuse everybody.
No, in real life, I give my actual Twitter.
And I'm Emma Fife. You can follow me all over the internet at Emma Fife, which is my name.
I'm Megan. You guys can follow me on Twitter at The Menguin. That's THEMENGUIN. Also on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz. Follow me on Twitter, whatever.
Yeah. You guys can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube at ThatZachWilson, THATZACHWILSON. And again, thank you so much. I'm Zach Wilson, and thank you for geeking out with us.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz ya later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.